You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
God poured out His Holy Spirit on the church so that He will be glorified among the nations. Learn more about this message in week 2 of our series, Make Room.
All right, good evening, church. We are currently in our second installment of our series, Make Room. So last week, with this installment, the person of the Holy Spirit. So as we have said last week, this make room is not actually a posture by which we accommodate due to our preference or because of our preference. Na this is not all about a choice to make. Na if I like, I would accommodate and make room for the Holy Spirit. But this is actually a posture by which we yield, we surrender, and make room for the Holy Spirit in our lives. And last week, we have learned the person of the Holy Spirit. And we have learned that He is our comforter, He is our teacher, and He is the Spirit of truth. Therefore, He can be known, He can be fellowshipped with, and He is someone that we can actually know. We are actually destined for an extraordinary life. You and I, we have a greater calling. And in order for us to do that, we have to have this extraordinary energy as well. We can actually get that from the Holy Spirit. And of course, we have learned that the Holy Spirit is God. He is the third person of the Trinity, the triune God. And therefore, He deserves the same honor, the same glory, the same adoration, the same praise as the Father and the Son. So this week, we are going to talk about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Outpouring, this is something that streams out rapidly. So this is not just a mere overflowing na hinay lang, but this is actually with energy. So Acts 2:1-18, it says here, "When the day of the Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, there came from the heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, 'Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in your own tongues and mighty works of God.' And all were amazed and perplexed, saying one another, 'What does this mean?' But others mocking said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my word. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servant and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy." What we're going to do tonight is we are going to study on that text that we have just read. And simply because the deeper we know about something, the more knowledge we gain about something, it's easier for us to trust those things or that person. Simply because when there is knowledge, there will always be trust. Let's start with verse 1. It says here, "When the day of Pentecost arrived." So what is Pentecost? Pentecost is actually a Jewish holiday held 50 days after Passover. So originally, this is a holiday for the Jews, those of the people of God. And this is the second Thanksgiving feast of harvest for the year. This is something like, for us here Filipinos, we have this Christmas by which ato ang mga relatives from other countries or other places actually go home for a reunion, right? Simply because We want to celebrate something and we want to give thanks for the rest of the year that happened. And we simply are excited and we take our leaves and go home to our places in order for us to be with our family. It is also kind of the same thing that is happening here in the Pentecost. And for those Silimanians here or for those from Norsu or from different campuses, we also have our Foundation Day, right? And for us, now, alumni, we want us also to join the celebration, and sometimes we take our leaves and join them as well. So this is what is happening right here. So people from different nations come back to this place right here. And it says here, they were all together in one place. So these are actually the disciples. Originally, in this time, there were only 120 disciples. These were actually mentioned in the previous chapter, which is chapter 1, verse 15. Moving on, it says here, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. So they were actually in the upper room. And in here, if you have joined us last week, this is actually the Ruach Spirit of God, the powerful, invisible, life-giving energy of God. This is what is actually coming in. And this is a wind, and it was not your typical wind. This is not a simple breeze that comes inside the window. It says here, it is a rushing wind. So we could know that there is actually power. Moving on, it says here, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested in each one of them. Imagine we are actually in the upper room. So we are also like more or less 120 here tonight. So imagine we are sitting right here and waiting, then suddenly, boom! There's a rushing wind that came inside the windows. Actually, the fire here is not like the literal fire that we imagine. It says here as of fire. So it's not actually physical fire, but this is actually the best way that the author can actually describe what was happening. And in the Old Testament, when there is fire, it represents the presence of God. So it means that the Spirit of God has now come, and now then there is fire, then they actually knew that this is God. The presence of God is upon them, and that is through the Holy Spirit. And this is the indwelling presence of God. What does indwelling mean? It actually means na parang this is what happens when we are justified by God. This is us receiving the Holy Spirit. And once you receive the Holy Spirit, the indwelling presence of God, this is the Spirit of God na by which it can never be canceled. Once we receive it, there is definitely no return, no exchange. So if you are saved, you proclaim yourself as a Christian, and you accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you have the indwelling presence of God. And you are already saved. How many of you here agree that that is actually good news? Can we give God a clap of praise for that? So this is somewhat like a picture of what actually happened on the upper room. So it therefore represents both the purity and the power of the speech that is going to happen a few verses later. So when there is a strong wind, that is the Ruach Spirit of God. It represents the Spirit of God. And the fire represents the holiness of God and purity. If there is fire, something that is touched by fire, it will never be the same again. Imagine a piece of paper. You put it in the fire, it will become ash. So it is actually never the same again. The same way with the disciples right here, once they were touched by fire, once the Holy Spirit actually came upon them, they were never the same. And the same is going to happen to us, to each one of you right here, right now. As you seek and as you receive the Holy Spirit, I tell you, you will never be the same again. Continuing, it says here, verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. Wow. When the Holy Spirit came, they were given new, dili ni siya literal new tongues, nahulog ang old tongue, a new tongue came out. No, by tongue here, it means a new language. This is something like learning a language you never knew before, but immediately, right there and then, the apostles actually learned a new language. And they began to speak in other tongues, and the Spirit gave the utterance. And they were not actually possessed. It is not something like the Spirit come like, oh. No, it is not something like that. When the Spirit came, they are actually still conscious. They know what they are doing. They know what they are saying. But it just so happened that these are not my own words. I never knew this before, but now I knew it. But this is actually now the fulfillment of God's promise given in Joel. So also last week we have learned this one. John 14:16, it says here, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever." My forever kay God. This is actually the promise that has been given by God. And during those times, there the disciples are. They were sitting and listening to God, so happy that God actually was resurrected from the dead. And they are so convinced that they are now going to have the God, the King, and they are going to become victorious simply because Jesus is back on their side. So they are so hopeful, right? But suddenly Christ said, "I am actually going to the Father." And the disciples were like, "What? I thought you were different." And imagine that is the feeling of the disciples. So they were actually anxious. But this is the promise of God. "And I will ask the Father that He will give you another helper to be with you forever." And this is now the promise of God that He is going to send a helper that is actually better than He is. And if you are that person, you are that disciple, what? It's very difficult for me to imagine someone that is better than Christ, that who conquered death and now is alive and is with us. Are you sure, God? Or you're just saying all these things so that we are going to be comforted as you go back in heaven? The same way is true in our lives. Don't look at your seatmate. Imagine this with yourself. Have you ever had that promise by God and you feel like this is actually the promise that God has given me, but it has been 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, and God, are you really sure that this is your promise for me? Are you really sure that I can make an impact, or I'm actually going to be blessed, or I can actually become a blessing to my families, I can bless them financially? And Lord, are you really sure that you're going to give the best one for me, a partner in life? The problem with us is that in times of waiting, it is actually very easy for us to either compromise or settle. Sometimes when we are actually in the moment of waiting, it's easy for us when we are here, we're so faithful in God, and we claim the promise, and we are so looking forward to that time where the promise is actually fulfilled, but you're in this time of waiting. Are we actually doing something, or are we just waiting, doing nothing? Actually, in this time of waiting, this is the time for us to grow. This is a training ground for us, preparing ourselves to receive the promises of God. Amen? Come on now, I encourage you guys, as we wait, we are to trust God upon His promises. The same way that He has promised a greater helper. And it has actually come in this now. "Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven." So actually here, let me show you a picture where the Jews actually are coming from. So the Jews actually were separated from one another. Others were sent to different places. The same way with us Filipinos. If you're going to search the entire world, anywhere you go, najunay usa ka Pinoy dira, there is always going to be that one Filipino out there making impact. Am I right? So the same way is happening right here. And right now, there's a festival and they are to go back here in Jerusalem. And these people actually learn different languages in their locality. And now they go back to Jews for the celebration. And there's more or less 15 nations from two major competing empires during this time. That is Rome and Parthia. And who among you here agree that the Holy Spirit is so strategic? Of all the time that He could actually be with the disciples, this is the time that He chose. Wherein it is so timely that the people from different nations actually came. And they are still to go back to where they came from. So when they were going to be impacted at this time, they are also going to make an impact where they are coming from. That is how timely, how great and sovereign the Holy Spirit is. And it gives us a picture that the Holy Spirit longs and strives for the salvation of people of every nation.
Now, the Holy Spirit is not only concerned with the people of Dumaguete City, but He is also concerned with the entire Philippines and the entire world. There is no partiality in God. Wherever you are, wherever there is a single person, as long as he haven't heard the gospel, God the Holy Spirit will continue to move in this place. And this is actually the beginning of the world missions. All right, let's continue. Chapter 6, it says here, "And at the sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language." This is now the infilling presence of God. So now we have learned two words, indwelling and infilling. Same raman sila. But what is the difference of the two? When we say indwelling, this is like the presence of God that came upon us and there is no return, no exchange. It will always be upon you. When you are saved, you are forever saved. But here comes the infilling presence of God. We all know that we are sinners, right? No matter how tall you are right here, you will always fall short of the glory of God. And that's just the reality. And because of that flaw that we have, we are like a leaking vessel. No matter how big a container is, as long as there is a leak or there's a crack or there's a hole at the bottom, it will eventually be empty. The same way with us. No matter how filled we are during Sunday, when you hear the word of God, but you go back to your home, to your classrooms, in your workplaces, Saturday, you will definitely feel dry if you are not being filled continuously by the power of God. So we continuously need to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. So how do we do that? You know what, church? Infilling does not only happen in church. It does not only happen during preachings or the powerful prayer and worship with the music team, but it happens daily in our lives. The moment when we say we have a relationship with God, we read the Bible, we are encouraged by the word, we apply it in our lives, we talk to our friends, we encourage them, they encourage us. That is the continuous feeling of the Holy Spirit right there. Church, it is our responsibility to fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit and with the power of God. Like what I have said a while ago, we are called to actually have extraordinary lives. Dili lang ta, mediocre people. We are destined to do greater things, to help others, not only for ourselves, but to go out there and make an impact to the world. But we cannot do that, and we need a greater power that is greater than us, and that is the Holy Spirit. That is why we need to continuously fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit. Encourage mama? Come on now. So as Christians, signs and wonders are going to follow us, not the other way around. They say na there's miracle in this place. Okay, let's go so that we can also be blessed. Oh, there's another miracle in that place. Okay, let's go so that we can be blessed. No. For us Christians, it does not work that way. As Christians, we are going to go out there, make an impact. We share to them the blessings, the signs, the wonders, and all these things, and people are going to be blessed. It's never the other way around. Acts 2:7 says here, "And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean?" They were not expecting these people, na they are locals in Jerusalem and they are Galileans. And suddenly they were talking in different languages. And they are not actually educated people. Most of them are fishermen, carpenters, and the likes. And suddenly, they were talking like this. So, when we are actually filled with the Holy Spirit, when we tap on the unlimited source of energy that the power of the Holy Spirit has, it enables us to do greater things. And with our faith, others are going to be blessed. So, I hope we are not those type of Christians that we always ask for blessings. Lord, bless me, but I hope by now, and by the relationship we have with God, we are also going to be those type of Christians. Now, Lord, how am I going to become a blessing to other people today? Show me, God, a way in order for me to touch the lives of my neighbors, of my friends, of my family. Lord, I want to become a blessing to them as well, the same way that you have blessed me. With our faith, we are going to be blessed. Let's continue. But others mockingly said, "They are filled with new wine." Oh, isn't it sometimes, no? Na, even though there are times now, we want to help others. As Christians, we want to help others. And
when we are doing the commandments of God, love your enemies, forgive other people, and when we try to preach the gospel to them, most of the times we are going to be mocked, we're going to be persecuted by other people saying that, ay, kuwa siya, hallelujah, praise the Lord, holy na kayo na siya. Grabe kayo ka. Sometimes, we feel that, or I tell you, if you have felt that, then good for you. Actually, you are blessed when you are persecuted because you learn to persevere, you learn to all the more be strategic, and you are going to realize that on your own, you cannot actually do that. You need the Holy Spirit. We are going to be persecuted. That is just the reality when we have a relationship with God. We are going to be persecuted. I tell you, the struggle will always be real. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words, for these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day." So basically, this is in the morning. "But this is what was uttered through the prophet of Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all the flesh, and all your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And even on the male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy." Church, I tell you, it's possible for us to see visions, to dream dreams, and prophesy. Simply because there are gifts from the Holy Spirit. And actually, the Bible tells us to ask of these gifts. There are a lot of people out there that has these gifts that they can see visions, dream dreams, and prophesy. Isn't it amazing? Every time I see these people and hear their stories and how they actually work in the real time, I am actually amazed and look up to them. But here's the catch. These things are not actually for you. What I mean by that is that when you are this person that you see visions, you dream dreams, and you prophesy, this is not to make you tell others that I am better than you, I am a greater Christian than you, I have a deeper relationship with God than you, therefore, I am greater. Praise me, praise me. No. The deeper our relationship with God is, the more we tap on the power of the Holy Spirit. That is why we are going to have these visions, dreams, and prophecies. It is all for the glory of God. It is to edify the church and to edify you. But there is no such thing as a vision and a dream or a prophecy that would actually come out to destroy a person. You know what? I saw you. I had a vision of you dying, bro. Sorry, you're going to die. No, it does not work like that. All visions, dreams, and prophecies always work for the good of the church. And if you are this person that you feel like you had a dream, you feel like there is really a message there, the wise thing to do is pray for it. Ask God if this is really from Him. Or ask your leaders or your victory group mates about this thing. John 14, verses 15 and 16 says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever." The Holy Spirit is the helper that God sent. And going back, the purpose why it has been sent? To keep His commandments. Sometimes it's really very difficult to obey God, to obey His word. But again, we are not to fret simply because we have the Holy Spirit in us. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is in us. And as long as we continue to fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit, we can do all things. This is what happened during that time when the Holy Spirit came upon them and they started preaching the gospel. The 120, more or less the same number as us, this is what happened when the infilling of the Holy Spirit was upon them. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit was upon them, and they were enabled by the Holy Spirit. These are the great things that happened. 3,000 who were there were actually saved. On that very day, the same day that happened, that's in Acts 2:41,
people were subsequently added to the church daily. Soon there were 5,000 men, plus women and children. Imagine that. Multitudes were being saved. Let me just give you a picture now. During those time, when Peter actually boldly preached the gospel, 3,000 were added. Imagine that. No microphone.
Something like this. Can you hear me at the back?
No. So it was like that. Imagine that, how powerful, how limited Peter was. He is even the one who denied Christ. But when he was given the power of the Holy Spirit, he boldly preached the gospel upon this nation. And guess what? 3,000 were added. Religious leaders began to be converted. Samaritans came to Christ. Entire towns committed to Christ. And a great number of Gentiles became Christians. Church, we are to ask of the Holy Spirit. We are to ask to be filled daily. And the reason for this is that we are to go out there and preach the Word of God and impact the lives of not only the people around us, but of nations. The Holy Spirit will enable us to preach the gospel. As I end, let me just give you a story of a person. His name is Festo Kivingeri. He is an Anglican Christian leader. He is the so-called Billy Graham of Africa. He is actually from Uganda. This guy right here is actually a bishop during that time. And in Uganda, that time, 1973, the politics is so strong in that the leader during that time actually persecuted Christians. And it was so chaotic. There is war going on. And here comes Festo Kivingeri. He is this person who wants to fight corruption. That's why he preaches the gospel. But because of what he did, the leader retaliated. But first, he was not the one who was attacked. His friend, Janani Luyum, was killed when he is in his car. And this person is actually so close to him. This guy is also a bishop. A servant of God who does the will of the Father. But guess what? He was killed. And Festo was so hurt, of course. And he couldn't even attend the burial of his friend. And he was so enraged. He was so mad. But guess what? He has written a book. And he needed to flee from Uganda. But this is what he said in his book. I had to face my own attitude towards President Amin and his agents. The Holy Spirit showed me that I was getting hard in my spirit. And in my heart was bitterness toward those who were persecuting us. Could only bring spiritual loss. On the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them because they know not what they do. As evil as Idi Amin is, how can I do less toward him? This is Festo, the author of the book, I Love Idi Amin. Some of you here agree that if you are that person and your friend has actually been attacked, you will be so mad and you will do your best to actually hate that person forever or actually get your revenge. It hurts, right? And as human as we are, that is our common tendency. But right here, Festo taught us that it is possible to forgive. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. The same way with us, if right now you have this bitterness in your heart, you have this person whom it is very difficult for you to forgive, or a circumstance that, Lord, I have been faithful, I have been a good person all my life. I have tried my best to become a blessing to my friends. But Lord, why are these things happening to me? Of all the people in the world, Lord, why am I the one who is suffering right now? Or you are this person that you have been left. You have been abandoned. And you are telling, Lord, I am so tired of these things. Guess what? it is possible to forgive those people with the power of the Holy Spirit. This is just a question I want to give all of us. Is it possible that the Holy Spirit has always been here, but we have not appropriated Him as Lord over our lives? As a Christian nation, we all know this. We pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We acknowledge the Holy Spirit as the third person of the Trinity. But do we actually know who the Holy Spirit is? In times that we are struggling, who do we call? Friends, the bank, parents, and no other choice, our last choice, God. Lord, hindi na dyan ako kaya, Lord. Ikaw na dyan eh. Have we actually asked the Holy Spirit to empower us and to help us in these times of need? Church, the Holy Spirit has always been there. And His heart and His desire has always been to help you because He loves you. He loves you so much. He has forgiven you of all the sins that you have, the past, the present, and the future sins that you have. That is the Holy Spirit. And He is willing to guide you to the best path that you are destined to take. The question, is it possible that the Holy Spirit has always been here, but we have not appropriated Him as Lord over our lives? Church, it is. He has always been here.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.